So what I want to talk about is, what did Jews believe before, or what did they have to believe before the Rambam came around? Right, the Rambam has 13 principles of faith. Mm-hmm. And before, so what's like written, like is there any, do we do mitzvot?
You mean before the Rambam or before any of the Rishonim that speak about these types of things?
Yeah, well let's say before, either. Now, there are times of Chazal, right? Do you have to believe in certain things? You only have to do stuff? Like, right? So, that's what we'll discuss. So I'm going to look at a few things we have. And so, what did the Rambam add? So, I think there's a professor, Louis Jacobs. So, he wrote a book on the Rambam's Principles of Faith. This is based on something that he wrote. So, he said, so you look at Philo, okay? First look at Philo, then we'll look at Mishnah. In Sanhedrin, and then we'll look at the Rambam. So the Philo, basically, so he lives, around 20 BCE. He wrote this around 20 BCE, and he writes some philosophy. It's interesting. He writes, let's read what he says, and in his before mentioned account of the creation of the world, Moshe teaches us also many other things, especially five most beautiful lessons, which are superior to all others. In the first place, for the sake of convicting the atheists, he teaches us that the deity has a real being in existence. So God exists, okay?
Now, what does it mean has a real being? Just that he exists?
That he exists, yeah. He's a real
being. Real being?
He's real. No, he's real. In other words, he's not something. The only difference between real being in existence, I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's not something. There's mamashus, whatever that is. Right. I mean, whatever that is.
Do we believe that? That there's mamashas?
Well, yeah, it could be spiritual mamashas. Whatever that means. It's hard to know. I have to look at the land. Okay. But God exists, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now the atheists, some have only doubted the existence of God, stating it to be an uncertain thing. That's obviously agnostic. But others, who are more audacious, have taken courage and asserted positively that there is no such thing, but this is affirmed only by men who have darkened the truth with fabulous inventions. So he says that you have the agnostics and the real wicked people who say that they cannot be, God cannot exist.
We said this last week.
Right. That those are like wicked people, right? In the second place, he teaches us that God is one, okay? Having reference here to the asserters of the polytheistic doctrine, men do not blush to transfer that worst of evil constitution, ochlocracy, that's like mob rule from doctrine, from earth to heaven. In other words, what he's saying is that just like you have mobs of people, a lot of powers on earth, so they say, oh, it must be up in heaven. There are also multiple gods, okay? So that's, he's going through things to reject what people believe. And then he says, thirdly, he teaches, as has already related, that the world was created, okay? So by his lesson, refuting those who think that it is uncreated and eternal, and who thus attribute no glory to God. Okay, some people think that the world is like God, is eternal, right? In the fourth place, we learn that the world also which was thus created is one. So this is the one piece that I think we don't believe. But I think the world is one, since also the Creator is one, and He, making His creation to resemble Himself in its singleness, employed all existing essence in the creation of the universe. So he said, if God is one, then the earth must be one. For it would not have been complete if it had not been made and composed of all parts which are likewise whole and complete. So, for there are some people who believe there are many worlds, and some who even fancy that they are boundless in extent, being themselves inexperienced and ignorant of the truth of those things which is desirable to have a correct knowledge. So he believes there's like, by the way, this is, I don't know, I'm not an expert in this, but Plato believes, so he's a philosopher, and he believed that like say this is a chair, so this is not a real chair. There's some like idealized form of a chair. What we see on this earth, what we see is only like a hint of what a chair really is. You know what it's like? It reminds you of what the Kabbalists think. The Kabbalists think that, you know, when you said the Yad Hashem, so when it said the Yad Hashem, So the rationalists will say that's like a mushel, right? The hand of God, it's a mushel, anthropomorphic. God obviously doesn't have a hand. So the Kabbalists will say that when he say the hand of Hashem, that's like the real hand. Our hands are not the real hands. Like, we're just like the real type of hand is something that's divine. So I'm just saying Plato believed that like
everything. Plato the Kabbalist.
No, not Plato the Kabbalist. Plato the philosopher believed that, basically there's something called form. And there's like you have a table, and that, but you have the form of what a table really is, which is the ideal table. What we see on Earth is not the highest reality. So my point is that I think what Philo was saying here, right? Plato lived a few hundred years beforehand. Plato's Talmud was Aristotle, and his Talmud was Alexander the Great. Those are the 300s. So anyway, so Philo I think is saying that God is like the real one. So therefore, the earth, which is what he created, must also be one. Obviously, we don't believe in that. But all these other things, you know, seem very familiar to us. This is the one piece that I think that we don't necessarily believe. And the fifth lesson that Moses teaches us is that God exerts his providence for the benefit of the world. Right? He's Hashgacha Pratis. So for it follows of necessity that the creator must always care for that which he has created, just as parents do also care for their children. Okay? So, right? So then he summarizes, right? He said, and he who has learned this not more by hearing it than by his understanding has impressed on his own soul these marvelous facts which are subject to so much contention, namely. So he now summarizes. Number one, God has a being and existence. And that he so exists is really one. He created the world. And that he has created it one, as has been stated. And it's single, like God is single. And he cares about it. So that's some of the Rambam's principles, right? It's got, I turn the page, right? We have the Rambam's existence. So existence, I get, you got one, two, right? And the principles of faith. Philo had the first one, the second one. What else? I guess divine, I don't know, that takes care of the world.
You can say by God alone.
One God. Well, that's really God's unity, I guess. Okay. Well, we see some of it. We don't. It's not. So the question is, what's Philo really doing here, right? In other words, why is he? Is he creating like a doctrine of beliefs, or is he really saying, you know, by these are some things? Like he's thinking. Let's say, what do we believe about God, or is he simply sort of responding to what people who have a wrong conception about God?
Well, what, I mean, is he pointing to specific psukim when he's doing this? Is he doing it as an explanation? Or is he just writing sort of a
he's writing what Moshe, it seems what he's saying, he's writing what Moshe taught us that wicked people disagree with. So my only point is, yeah, well, he's not setting out. These are the things you have to believe in God. Like you know, right? He just feels that these were ideas. Right, in other words, he's basically saying.
I think what he's contrasting to the common belief.
Exactly. Yes, he's contrasting the common belief. Right. He's not right. And I think this might also be. You know, we have the Mishnah. Now we're going to Chazal Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, which says, "Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelk Lo Mabah." Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. Shenemar va'amech kulam sadikim, lo'olam yirshu aretz. Right, so everyone's going to inherit the land. So ve'elu she'elhem chek lo mabah. So who doesn't have a portion of the world to come? Ha'omer ein tchias demesim min ha'torah. If you say there's no resurrection of the dead, ve'ein torah min ha'shamayim. And if you say that Torah is not from heaven, and apikores. So what's an apikores? So the Bar Tanura says that you're mevaza t'minei chacham. You disgrace scholars. And certainly you disgrace the Torah itself. So that's one explanation. I have also, I just want to know, the Bar Tanura in his commentary to Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, he said, Apikoros is a lashon hefker. You're mevaza the Torah, that's hefker, or that you make yourself hefker. Apikoros, you make yourself hefker. You don't care about yourself because you're mevaza the Torah. So basically, the Mishnah, in terms of theology, the Mishnah here has no tchias amesim. That's number 12. Torah is not min shemayim. The Torah min shemayim, right? So that is, I guess, 8. And then you have apikores. So you're mevaza the Torah, mevaza. Yeah, I don't know. What would you call the eight? Okay, maybe nine. I don't know. But
right,
would be nine. But again, there's no systematic, you know. And what's interesting is then you have three other people. Rabbi Kiva says, if you read Svarim Chitzonim, if you read heretical books, and Lochei Shalambaka, you say some incantations on a wound. And Abba Shol says, if you also pronounce Hashem's name as it's spelled, they also don't have a portion of the world to come. So what's interesting is that, by the way, the first three is, it seems like it's more of like, it's not like it's establishing, this is what Judaism believes. Because obviously in times of the Mishnah, they believe in a God, right? But it's more of like, these are false opinions and religiously harmful practices in the days of the Mishnah. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, until the Rambam, it seemed that there were perhaps views that were incorrect. Of course, when does a view become heretical, right? There's always a question. When does a view go from being...
Could you have all these different sects that were going on?
Right, but I'm saying, but in other words, at what point do you say, okay, you know, like, okay, this is a krum hashkafa, or this is a incorrect, or at what point does it become a heretical view? Which are dangerous views? You know, at the end of the day, you might argue that maybe no view is inherently dangerous unless we see it practically leads you not to observe Torah and mitzvot. Right? In other words, is the view itself a problem, or are we only concerned with those views that will preclude you from observing Torah and mitzvot, and then what are they? And what are they, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you know, it's apikoros, it's your mevazal timei chachamim, so you're not going to believe in the Mesorah, you're not going to follow Torah mitzvot. So it's an interesting question. In other words, what's so unique about these principles of faith? Why are these opposed to something else? So all I'm saying is, like, until the Rambam, it seems that these... dogmatic formulations. When I say dogmatic formulations, it's formulation of dogma, what I have to believe, generally appear to have been in response to a particular situation in which certain ideas challenged by the sectarians, like you said, different groups, they needed to be stressed. In other words, it wasn't until the Rambam came up with things that we should believe about God, as opposed to beforehand, which were just reactions to dangerous beliefs. Both, I gave you an example of Philo.
A good example of that.
The what?
Hanukkah and the Hellenist are a good example of that.
Right. So again, it depends what. So was it practices or was it beliefs? I'm not sure.
I think the end point, I mean, once they took back the base of Mishdash,
right,
and there's a reestablishment, and that reestablishment was, if you say, reactive against the Hellenists.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But the question is, so what there's, in what way did they, obviously, like, they worship the body more than the Jew, like, but I'm saying, but like, in other words, well, they were polytheists, clearly.
Right.
That's clear. But I'm saying, in other words, you know, there are many Jews that were Hellenized a little bit. So what point do you go off the derech, you know, in terms of, so that's the question. There's, at what point, where do you draw the line in terms of what you believe? But the point is that until the Rambam, it was more of a reaction. This is what Louis Jacob says. Until the Rambam was more of a reaction, there were some beliefs that were mentioned, like I brought you from Philo and from the Mishnah, but until the Rambam was more of a reaction, until a systematic set of beliefs. If you look at the Rambam says in his commentary in his commentary in Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph, so he says, "V'kasher yu kayamim la'adam kol hayisodas halalu v'munaso behem amitis." He says, "When you believe," he first the Rambam lists the 13 principles of faith, and he says, "When you believe in all these things, and when you, you know, v'harehu nichnas b'chla Yisrael." So he says, "If you believe these 13 principles of faith, then you become part of Yisrael." V'chova la'avo v'lachmol alav. And then you're obligated to love this person and to have mercy upon him. And then basically, You know, whatever Hashem commands that one Jew should take care of another one based on love and brotherhood. So now, so you know the Torah says, "V'hatu
l'recha kamocha," or you know, apply to these people.
Right. So may only apply to these people who are, you know, sometimes we have a concept, osem maase amcha. You know, if they act. So in other words, there's a Jew and then there's quote unquote Yisrael. The brotherhood of a Jew caring for another Jew above and beyond requires belief in these 13 principles. And he says, "Vafilu asa mash yachol lios min averos machmas tavaso vizgabros yitzro hara." And even if you do any averos, because your desires and because of yitzro hara, harehu nenash lefi gadol miryo, so you get punished depending on the nature of the sin and the rebellion. But you have a portion still in the world. It seems to be portion. Enough olam haba, or maybe portion Yisrael.
Just like a small portion.
But no, it says chelak, but it might refer to chelak Yisrael. Vehumi poshe Yisrael. He is among the sinners of Yisrael. V'kasher yefakfek adab yisod me'elu ha'yisodos. But if you reject. And the chelak might be chelak lom haba.
Yeah.
So it's a chelak lom haba.
The Rambam.
Yeah, it's going
more,
on this mission.
More encompassing than.
Yes. Well, the Mishnah does say right. He say so. It's chelak probably means chelak lom haba. Fine, because you pack out and be so me'elu ayu sodos. So when someone you know breaks away from these fundamental principles of faith, haris a yatsa mina klal. You leave the klal. If a kafir be ikar and you deny what is main, v'nikra min v'apikorsis. Yes, kafir ikar, right. V'kotzeitz b'netios, and you're basically, you know, cutting off the plantings, basically any connection. V'chov v'lishanoso u lashmido. Oh, sorry, lisnoso. It's an alpha missing. Lisnoso v'lashmido v'lo. Right. So you're obligated to hate him and to destroy him. Okay. So that's the question. What do you call a heretic? Again, we talked about the definite. We talked about last time about what's considered a heretic according to the Rambam. So it seems that for the Rambam that these 13 principles of faith are necessary for the part of Klal Yisrael, maybe even for the afterlife. Like these 30 principles of faith. So different philosophers, scholars when they of the Rambam, they said different things. There's a professor Kellner who says that he wants to say that maybe the he's not sure whether how to take chelek very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, like really, if you don't believe one principle of faith, but you do a lot of mitzvahs, are you really excluded from the world to come?
I always thought it meant that it's the bare minimum.
Right, but
you don't do anything, right. But if you haven't done these three, right. Then you still get
it. So what if you do a lot, but let's say you don't believe in one thing because you tried. Let's say you tried, but you just don't believe. Let's say you tried to believe in some of these things, but one of them just doesn't make sense to you.
Well, I mean, are we going, the Mishnah very clearly states something.
I understand, but what I'm saying.
Meaning he believes in everything, like one of them he just has a hard time believing.
Yeah, they say one of them he just doesn't believe. He tries, but he doesn't believe. He has a crisis of faith.
He doesn't believe in which one?
Okay, anyone. But the Rambam's saying about all 13 of them. This Rambam's piece is after all 13. In Perek HaChelek, Perek Yud Alach Aleph, he lists all the 13 principles in depth.
Where does he get it from?
What?
Where does the Rambam? The Rambam, you can generally
he goes through them. We'll discuss them.
You can connect the Rambam straight to the Gemara.
Okay.
Generally, where does he get these from? I mean, the Mishnah very clearly states
we're going to go through them. We already spoke about five of them. You got five of them from the Torah already.
Okay.
Right. We did. But my point simply is.
But the Torah doesn't say anything about not having a chelek in all of
because
of those things.
I understand.
Like I would think that the Rambam would sort of. Follow
right,
from the.
Right.
The problem is, in his opinion, in the Rambam's opinion, the Torah does state that people will be cut off, especially like regarding Ani Hashem Elokecha. He does say regarding that.
You get courage for a lot of different
transgressions. But those are more specific. saying Ani Hashem Elokecha is a very big.
Okay, but whatever.
The Mishnah just says
there are three things for which you don't get a chet lo vaba. The Rabbi extends it to 13. I'm just saying it's not. We have to address that question in terms of how we get some of these things. But the point is, so that's why there actually is some debate about that, whether the Rambam really means to say that these 13 principles of faith are necessary to be part of Klal Yisrael, but maybe you still might get the afterlife even without it. Maybe. That's what Professor Kellner wants to say. And he also says because of the Mishnah Torah, in the Mishnah Torah, there's never a mention that if you don't believe it, you lose Chet Lamabah.
Right, right. That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're hanging on this one word, Chelek.
But this is not in Mishnah Torah. I understand.
But the Rambam feels that these 13 principles of faith are necessary for you to be part of the brotherhood called Klal Yisrael. That's what Professor Kelly wants to say.
Maybe he feels also that maybe if you do not believe in one of these principles, maybe you for sure are going to go in the wrong pathway.
Okay, maybe. Right, you need that. If you look at Rabbi Bleich. So he wrote a book on the Rambam. So he writes the following. He says the situation is crudely analogous to that of a student who fails to master algebra through no fault of his own, and must then be refused permission to enroll in a calculus course. Such denial is not by way of punishment, but an assessment of the fact that one who has not mastered the rudiments of a subject cannot profit from advanced instruction in that discipline. So what he's saying is that you have to be intellectually prepared to be part of Klal Yisrael. This is like classic Rambam as opposed to Yehuda Levi, right? The Rambam, when he talks about prophecy, what does he say? The Rambam's of the view that how do you become a prophet? You have to work on yourself until you're at a certain level that you could be prepared to achieve prophecy, whereas Yehuda Levi says, no, God could just spring it on you without any preparation. So this could be consistent.
That's what it seems like from Tanakh.
That God could... Right, you have to...
That's what it seems from Tanakh, just based on
a basic reading of Tanakh. Right, we have to work on the Rambam in terms of how he gets it. It could be a different types of the Vyam. That's at this topic to its own. But I think the point here is that the Rambam is really telling you that as opposed to before the Rambam, the philosophers or Philo was saying that it's really just, this is going to lead you off the derech. The people who are not observing Torah and mitzvahs, they believe in these crude things, and that's going to lead you off the derech. The Rambam sort of like formulates it. He says, you need to believe in this to have a greater conception, understanding of who God really is, to really be part of Klal Yisrael. You need to believe in these ideas to prepare yourself to be someone who is, you know, the goal of the Rambam on this earth is to know Hashem through observance of mitzvot and through study. So if you don't master these 13 things, you're very limited in what you can achieve. So the Rambam is more like... You have to earn it, and it's not only so that you're going to observe mitzvot. It's to perfect your knowledge and understanding of God. If you don't believe that, then there's something missing in your conception of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And these are the things that get you to this kind of knowledge. I think that's what the Rambam sort of gets at.
Is there an opinion in the Gemara about the event of the Messiah that someone says
came already?
Yeah, we did it last time. Rav Hillel said he came already, right?
Who was it?
Rav Hillel in the Gemara Sanhedrin, right? So the Rambam would
that's
say
in,
right.
That's in this Gemara. I mean, it's in Chelek, right?
Yeah, well, the Gemara, not in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So some will argue that it was the Machlokes and Ram. We pass like the Ram against that. So it could be. See, that's an interesting question.
But according to the Rambam, Rav Hillel was a Kofar
Bechir. I guess. Yeah. I mean, these things are hard. So the argument would be the argument. See, the
Shammai.
Right.
It's a different.
This is Rav Hillel, not Hillel and Shammai. Oh. Rav Hillel and Sanhedrin.
Okay.
The best way to approach that is really to say that like, you know, again, if you understand that these beliefs are to depend. If you understand these beliefs are really to get you to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then maybe depending on when you live, certain beliefs are not going to draw you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're right. If the goal of these 13 beliefs is to get you to a better understanding, then clearly Rav Hillel was limited because he didn't believe in this one thing.
Yeah, but
And not only that, but I think the most important point is that you suggest that the Judaism as a religion or as a way of life has evolved over time, but it was never given actually like we believe that it was
it's not you're not considered not part of the cloud until it was decided, until there was a consensus somehow.
What's the exact definition?